Spider-Man fans will stand and love and cry and weep at that theme song. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. It is I, Andrew Vitri, the mistress of pop culture, here to deliver you a really good Friday episode. I am so sorry. I have been A-B-S-E-N-T absent for the last 2 days. I was traveling. I had a lot going on. It was a little bit under the weather because I was just tired from just festivating and celebrating the holidays, which I am really excited for, especially with the Christmas tree up. But I am back in Florida. My family's going to be here tomorrow, and it's been a really busy week. I was going to do a 5 for 5 this week, 5 episodes, Monday through Friday, but 2 days got away from me, so I do apologize for that. But I do have a really good episode, and I'm glad I waited because I have a lot to talk about, to end out this week. Now, I did say that next week I'm not going to do any episodes because I'm going to take the week off for Christmas, but I think I might do a Monday and Tuesday episode. We'll see. I'm getting my booster shot on Sunday, so we'll see how I feel Monday because, you know, I might be sick or, you know, I might be just tired and laggy, but we'll see. But before I get into all of our stories, I have to say I saw Spider-Man No Way Home today. Wait a second. Oh, yeah, it is Friday. I saw Spider-Man No Way Home Thursday. I saw it at 3 o'clock, AMC Prime, because I'm a StubHub's A-list member because I love seeing movies. And I just want to issue a spoiler alert because that's going to be our fourth and final story of the day. I'm going to talk a lot about it. So just know, if you haven't seen it yet, I will give another warning when I come to the Spider-Man story because I am going to talk about what happened. And I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but it was, I just belched. It was amazing. Also, this is kind of a segue into the first story in a way, indirectly, but I, episode 3 of And Just Like That is now streaming on HBO Max. It was a fabulous episode. And I have to give a huge shout out to Sara Ramirez, who plays Che Diaz. Sara was in Grey's Anatomy as Callie. She was, they were also, if you're a musical theater fan like me, Spamalot, Monty Python Spamalot, they played the Lady of the Lake, Sada, iconic, and I believe Sada won a Tony for that, so amazing, which makes sense because they have the most incredible set of pipes out there, and I also met them in LA at a screening for a friend of mine who directed a feature that they were in, so yeah, episode 3 is streaming, it's really good, and if you haven't watched it yet, spoiler alert, but Natasha's back, the iconic Bridget Moynihan, who, of course, famously shares a baby with Tom Brady. And it was such a good episode, and it was so great seeing Natasha back. And there's a lot going on. Miranda might have a drinking problem. Charlotte is, her daughter, Rose, is, you know, not really feeling being called girl. So I love to see it, and I love how in tune with the times the show is. So, but anyways, aside from that, that's going to be our segue into our first and second story of the day. I also want to issue a trigger warning, which I will put in a little bio this episode. This particular story has to do with sexual assault, rape, and the victims of such horrors. So I'm just issuing a definite trigger warning for that. So The Hollywood Reporter, TMZ, all the outlets are reporting this. This is a pretty heavy story, but I feel as though it's very important to talk about it. It's sort of the main news story of the day. The Hollywood Reporter, as well as TMZ, E! And all the outlets posted this, but the real breaking news came from Hollywood Reporter. Chris Noth accused of sexual assault by two women. This is shocking, especially given the fact that Just Like That came out on HBO Max, the Peloton ad, which has since been pulled, which is our second story, but triggered by a recent Sex and the City reboot, the women allege two incidents of misconduct they say took place more than a decade apart. So let's read this and then we'll break it down. Okay. It was the revival of the television series that had made him such an iconic character that was triggering for the two women. Zoe, now 40, and Lily, now 31, both alleged they were sexually assaulted by actor Chris Noth. The two women who approached The Hollywood Reporter separately months apart and who did not know each other said promotions and press reports of HBO Max's Sex and the City sequel series and Just Like That, in which Noth reprises his role as Mr. Big, stirred painful memories of incidents they say occurred in Los Angeles in 2004 and in New York in 2015, respectively. To protect their privacy, The Hollywood Reporter is alleging both women to use... I'm sorry, alleging. Is allowing both women to use pseudonyms. So Zoe and Lily, I believe, that must not be their names, which is good. Protect their, of course. Okay. Lily, now a journalist, reached out to THR, the Hollywood Reporter, in August. Quote, "I'm not sure how you go about this sort of story and how you find the other victims," she wrote in an email. The Hollywood Reporter heard from Zoe in October. She still works in the entertainment industry and is fearful of repercussions if her identity were known. But, quote, "seeing that he was reprising his role in Sex and the City set off something in me," she says. Quote, "for so many years, I buried it." She decided it was time, quote, "to try and go public with who he is." Contacted for comment, Noth sent The Hollywood Reporter a statement, quote, "The accusations against me, made by individuals I met years, even decades ago, are categorically false. These stories could have been told from 30 years ago or 30 days ago. No always means no. That is a line I did not cross. The encounters were consensual. It's difficult not to question the timing of these stories coming out. I don't know for certain why they are surfacing now, but I do know this. I did not assault these women." After graduating from college in 2004, Zoe, then 22, moved to LA to work in an entry-level job for a high-profile firm where Noth and other celebrities regularly had business. So high power firm, I'm assuming it's either a talent agency, management company, PR company, one of the houses that, you know, helps manage stars and whatnot. Quote, "he would walk by my desk and flirt with me. He somehow got my number from the directory and was leaving messages on my work phone. My boss was like, quote, 'Mr. Biggs leaving messages on your voicemail,' she says. That now former boss tells THR. She witnessed Noth talking to Zoe at her desk. Zoe also let her listen to some, quote, kind of flirty voicemails from him. The ex-boss says she thought it odd that Noth, who was 49 at the time, had gotten Zoe's number and left those messages, but says she didn't find it alarming. Quote, 'this was peak Sex in the City,' she says. He was like a god to us." Noth lived in New York, but at one point, Zoe says, he invited her to come to the pool at a building in West Hollywood where he had an apartment. She told him she had a friend who lived in the same building and had been to the pool, been to that pool often. That August, she and her best friend from college, who was visiting from the East Coast, excitedly went to the pool to meet Noth. The visiting friend confirms going to the pool and sitting with Zoe and Noth in the jacuzzi. Zoe says Noth asked her, quote, "all sorts of questions about my major and what I studied. He had a book with him and told her to take a look at it because he was thinking of doing a project based on the material. Then, according to Zoe and her friend, he said he had to go to his apartment to take a call." And this is, you know, sort of where things get dicey. But he left the book asking Zoe to look through it and bring it back to his apartment. Zoe was flattered. Quote, "he said, 'I'd love to know what you think. I thought I'm new. He's asking my opinion. I've only been in Hollywood for 2 months. When she went to his apartment to return the book, Zoe says he kissed her as she stepped through the door. She tentatively kissed back, but then said, 'thank you, I'm going back to my friend.' The kiss itself didn't alarm her. She thought a kiss from Mr. Big would be a fun story to tell her friends. But, she says, then he pulled her toward him, moved her toward the bed, pulled off her shorts and bikini bottom, and began to rape her from behind. She was facing a mirror. Quote, 'it was very painful and I yelled out, stop,' she says, 'and he didn't. I said, 'can you at least get a condom?' And he laughed at me." Oy, that's dark. "When it was over," she says, quote, excuse me. "When it was over," she says, quote, "I realized there was blood on my shirt. I got out of there. I went to my friend's apartment in the same building. The friend visiting from college was already there," she says. "I walked right in and I went to the bathroom and I tried to get the blood off my shirt. Don't want to know what happened. I said, quote, 'I just want to go home.' The visiting friend pursued her and said, 'you're scaring me.' That friend, now a child psychologist in Boston, tells The Hollywood Reporter that Zoe was strikingly different when she returned from Noth's apartment. Quote, "she went right into the powder room. When she came out, she was very aloof, kind of cool. She's a very gregarious, sweet, friendly person. It was a very weird change. She asked what happened, but Zoe coldly said she wasn't going to talk about her personal life." Quote, "it was not like her," the friend says. "We left. Riding the elevator was awkward. She wouldn't talk. She wouldn't make eye contact. When we went to the car, I started pressing her. 'You have to tell me what happened. Something's wrong.' I don't remember the words she said, but I said, 'I'm taking you to the hospital.' The two went to Cedars-Sinai, where Zoe told staff she had been assaulted. Quote, 'I had stitches. Two police officers came. I wouldn't say who it was.' Zoe says she feared that she would not be believed and felt she would be fired if she accused him publicly or even at her workplace. At the hospital, quote, 'they gave me a little crisis counseling brochure and some medicine. Contacted by The Hollywood Reporter, Cedars told The Hollywood Reporter they do not keep records dating back to 2004. Okay, that I don't believe. I think maybe it's a 10 or 15 year with OSHA that you have to keep files, but I'm not sure. Okay, so this is the first scenario we're going to talk about. Okay, I have many, 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 many thoughts about this. First and foremost, how sorry I am to, Zoe. How sorry I am to Zoe. I know that's not her real name, but that's horrible and just so disgusting, and just my heart breaks that she had to endure this. And, okay, I mean, none of us know what happened, but, like, what's really upsetting here is that he said the timing of it is very suspicious, but you can never use that as a way to silence victims. You can't say, well, it's precarious, the timing of this is coming out now, when things are, you know, whatever. Chris Noth is, like, on the... is very current. You can't say that because people... some people never speak about their trauma. Some people, it takes a long time to be able to have the, you know, balls to be able to speak about it. And of course, now we're in a different time where you are encouraged to speak about your attacker, especially if they're a public person, because then, you know, the person will get canceled and they'll be held accountable for their actions. I don't know what's going to happen with this. I just think that, I mean, it's... he invited her up and just went to her and she said, stop, put a condom, and he laughed. I don't... There really are no words because it's so horrifying. You can say you never would have assumed that someone like Chris Noth would be a rapist, an alleged rapist, but you never know what people do behind closed doors. It's like literally why I never want to date anyone, because you just never know who people are, and you never know, like, it's horrible. So that's the first young lady who reached out to the Hollywood Reporter. Also, shame on Cedar Sinai for not having a report. Let's see. According to Zoe's former boss, Zoe called her later that day to tell her that Noth had attacked her. Zoe doesn't remember making that call. Quote, I was driving behind where Soho House is now. That's on Sunset, for those of you who don't live in L.A. And I think I stopped and pulled over because it was so horrible, her ex-boss says. She was very upset, kind of in shock. I was in shock, but at Zoe's request, she did not disclose the attack to anyone. I was 25 at the time, she says. It was a lot. I didn't know what to do. She notes that this was more than a decade before the hashtag MeToo movement. So Zoe then goes on to say she faced a lot of trauma, which is not surprising. Anyone who endured such a terrible thing would be traumatized. Soon after the alleged rape, Zoe had confided in her mother, who consoled her and said that she had also been a rape victim in 2018. Zoe's mother was diagnosed with cancer and she was dying, and she was haunted by her assault. Zoe says, I don't want to be in that same position where I'm haunted at the end of my life. That I absolutely understand, and that is why my heart breaks, and I'm sure yours does too for this young lady. But the other woman in the article, Lily was a server in the VIP section of the now-shuttered New York nightclub, number 8 in 2015, when she met Noth. She had been a fan since he starred in Law & Order, and of course she knew him from Sex and the City. Quote, I was truly starstruck, she says. He was hitting on me for sure. I was flattered. I knew he was married, which is shameful for me to admit. She was 25, he was 60. Noth got her number and asked her out. Quote, I was like, that's crazy. Mr. Big is asking me out for dinner. And he asked her to show him, asked her to meet him at Il Cantinori, which, as a fan of the show, Lily knew had been the setting for a Sex and the City episode. Carrie Bradshaw throws her 35th birthday party there. Il Cantinori, yeah, nobody shows up. Remember, Stanford calls her Il Cantor, Samantha's uptown. Miranda's like, get a cell phone. The idiot at 411 doesn't know where to go. And then she has to pay for her own cake, and she drops the cake on the pavement. I love Sex and the City. It's so good. But, okay, continuing about Lily. Lily's friend Alex, who has known her since high school and who was also living in New York, says she advised her not to go out with Noth. Quote, I just didn't have a great feeling about it, she says. I was like, quote, no, I think it'll be nice about it. He was nice and respectful when I met him at the club. It's just dinner, but I've always been the mom of everyone. Also, when you're in it, you don't see the red flags. That is so true. Like, it's in retrospect for past relationships, I wish I knew what I do now. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone out with a lot of people. Lily thought the fact that he invited her to her dinner showed some interest in getting to know her. But she says when he arrived at home, He had set the kitchen, had closed. They had wine at the bar. Noth talked about his disinclination to appear in a third Sex and the City movie. The project was finally shelved in 2017. Quote, he asked me a lot about my job and my trajectory. She says she told him he was working on a career in journalism. As the evening wore on, she says she too had too much to drink, though she was nowhere near blacking out. And she says, sorry, my throat's getting really dry. And she says her fan worship of Noth was such that she almost felt she was having an out-of-body experience just being on the date, which I totally understand. With the restaurant closing, he told her his apartment was just around the corner. Noth has owned a Greenwich Village apartment since 1994. He had a collection of whiskeys and that they could sample. Quote, I was not super sexually active, not crazy. Lily knows. Lily says now she finds it, quote, humiliating to admit that she didn't think he would try and sleep with her. Quote, I thought we're going to drink whiskey and talk about his acting career. It sounds so stupid. The apartment was, quote, an amazing place. We were listening to music and he has all these books about art and fashion. He tried to make out with me. I cautiously entertained it. He's older and he looked older than me. Yeah, when I saw him in LA a couple months ago, I was like, damn, Chris Noth is old. No disrespect, people age. The next thing I knew, he pulled down his pants and he was standing in front of me. He thrust his, you know, male part into her where she eats broccoli. So that's just horrifying. Lily says she brought up that he was married with children. Noth had married in 2012. At the time, he had one child. Quote, he said, quote, marriage is a sham. Monogamy is not real. The next morning, she knew, quote, he was having sex with me from the back of a chair. We were in front of the mirror. I was kind of crying as it happened. When it was over, she says, I went to the bathroom and put on my shirt. I was feeling awful, totally violated. All of my dreams with this star I loved for so many years were gone. She called an Uber revisiting. This brings her to tears, yet she finds it very freeing to tell the story. Obviously, TMZ has reached out for rep. And that is the horrifying story about Chris Noth and what he's being accused of, which is just disgusting. And I'm so sorry to these women and all those who endure sexual trauma and rape. And it's just heartbreaking. And yeah, I mean, he's not on the show anymore, so get ready to get canceled, mister. Anyways, this brings us to our second story of the day, which also ties into the Chris Noth of it all. This is from E! Online is reporting, Peloton pulls Chris Noth's Sex and the City ad after he's accused of sexual assault, which totally makes sense given the details I just read to you. By the way, I kind of like I'm dazing in and out because I am recording this in the Wednesday evening, but I'm so just so sleepy. But anyways, of course, I'm going to say content warning. This story discusses sexual assault. Peloton is distancing itself from Chris Noth after two women accused him of sexual assault. On Thursday, December 16th, The Hollywood Reporter, which is the article I literally just read to you, published allegations from two other women under pseudonym Zoe and Lily. Noth denies the allegations, telling E! News in a statement, quote, the accusations against me made by individuals I met years, even decades ago, are categorically false. These stories could have been from 30 years ago or 30 days ago. No always means no. That is a line I did not cross. The encounters were consensual. I mean, I think that's what makes these types of situations very difficult, is because everybody says, oh, it's just who he is. It's the culture of the work environment, which is completely wrong and would never fly, especially in this day and age. So I don't know. I think he has to have a nice sit down with Tony, because I feel like Tony could talk sense into anyone, because Tony's like literally just the pulse. Let me think if there's anything else I wanted to talk to you about. Spider-Man No Way Home. What? Oh, sorry. I thought someone was talking to me. By the way, I'm like dozing in and out here. I'm so tired because I've been traveling. I've been up for over 24 hours. So my brain is like cracked in half. But you know what? I will persevere because girls gotta eat. That's sort of the... I didn't offer my opinion about that. I totally understand. I think it's completely merited that Peloton pulls the ad. I wonder if SJ knew, I wonder if Chris Noth's team got ahead of it before it was not leaked, but if it was released to the press, because it's just, it's heartbreaking. So, yeah, oh, my heart breaks. Speaking of literal, like, mess of a man, actually, these two kind of look alike. TMZ, Alec Baldwin, cops get search warrant for his phone. Rest investigation continues. I was literally totally surprised by this. I'm actually even more surprised that didn't happen earlier, but I feel like Alec Baldwin and Chris Noth are literally the same human being. It's just like, you guys look alike. Anyways, Alec Baldwin cops get search warrant for his phone at investigation continues. Alec Baldwin's phone might contain crucial evidence in the Rust shooting investigation. At least cops think so. And that's why they now have a warrant to comb through it. And even if he deletes it, I believe the forensic scientists can just like get everything. Or Apple. Like, I wonder if like with big cases like this, if Apple is allowed to communicate with said person. The Santa Fe County Sheriff's Department got a new judge to sign off Thursday on a secret warrant for Alec's mobile phone, a move that comes nearly 2 months after the accidental shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. According to docs obtained by TMZ, Alec told investigators about emails between head armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed and himself, in which she showed him different styles of guns and knives for the film. He says he requested a bigger gun, and she showed him a unique Colt. Ooh. We also know Alec was using a replica of an 1873. Oh, this is an interview. I'm looking at the CBS interview, which is great. It's definitely what we want. Let me see if there's any more to this story. Remember during this ABC interview, Alec said that he's not responsible for Helena's death, although he wouldn't say who was. District Attorney Mark Carmen Altuis begged to differ, though, saying neither Baldwin or anyone else who had contact with the weapon was in the clear yet. She investigated the investigation is still ongoing. I actually met some time ago. Oh no, that's not her. I met who the hell looks like her? I forget what her name is, but she was in this sketch idea, whatever. Okay, literally, my brain is, like, so fried because I'm just going off on a tangent. I'm going to listen to this later on and be like, what was I saying? But, you know, it's okay because sometimes mistakes are more authentic and more organic, off the beaten path. Anyways, I guess that's the latest update with that story pertaining to Alec Baldwin and everything that's going on in the sloppiness of him and his family, literally speaking to the paparazzi when they should be, you know, put a pin in it, in the words of Valerie Cherish. I don't know. I feel like Alec Baldwin just needs to, like, take a breath. Now, this brings us to our fourth and final story of the day, which is going to be the Spider-Man recap. Okay, I'm literally so excited for this. I'm screaming. The article I'm going to read you is from Deadline.com, and it is Spider-Man No Way Home weaves amazing $44 million opening day overseas international box office. This does not surprise me, obviously. Going to the cinema is a bit of a different experience now because we are in the pandemic. But, you know, people are vaccinated, why not, and you can eat candy and stuff. And I say 50% weren't wearing masks here, and the other 50 were. I took off my mask to drink my water and eat my peanut M&Ms, but then I put my mask right back on because, you know, you got to be safe. You got to keep your friends and family and all those who are on the, what is the thing called? The, like, safety kick. Okay, Spider-Man No Way Home. It was my favorite of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that have come out. No, there's Spider-Man 1, 2, 3, and there's Andrew Garfield's 2, and then there's 3. Okay, for me, it was the 4th of the Tom Holland Spider-Man's. The OG, which is a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, and then I like Andrew Garfield's too because he's so cute. They all came together to help Peter Parker defeat Doc Ock, Green Goblin, Jamie Foxx's character, Thomas Hayden Church's character, and the Freezer. So it was like heavenly, and Benedict Cumberbatch was amazing, and the visual effects were gorgeous, and made me want to go on a roller coaster. He's really big, Mayank. Oh my gosh, I literally just like dozed off for a second. Sorry, you guys. Oh my gosh, I'm so tired. Okay. So anyways, this article. The movie was amazing. I gotta say, I've been such a big Zendaya fan since Shake It Up. Disney Channel, if you know, you know. She's amazing in this movie, and Jacob is amazing. Shout out to, Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin is, and when I say Andrew Garfield, he was my favorite Spider-Man, but that's my personal opinion. But anyways, this article from Deadline is, Spider-Man No Way Home weaves amazing $44 million opening day overseas, international box office. I don't think it surprises anyone because of the success of Peter Parker. We all love our Spider-Man. Sony/Marvel Spider-Man No Way Home is slinging up mega numbers in its early overseas play. The full Wednesday launch in 15 markets has come in at least $43.6 million. The John Watts-directed film has also set multiple records and is looking to blow past industry projections for this weekend. Domestic previews start today, well, yesterday, which was Thursday, which is when I saw it, because I have to see movies the day they come out. As Deadline reported yesterday, Tom Holland, star, set a pandemic-era opening day record in Korea in Wednesday. I mean, this is just great. The cast is, let's see if they didn't list it. But you know what, you guys, it doesn't surprise me. You guys, I really, really implore you to go see this movie. It's so good. It's about 2.5 hours. Marissa Tomei is fabulous. Willem Dafoe. And just, it's so great to have the gang back together. And the actor who plays Flash Thompson. And I have to say this, having Benedict Cumberbatch be in these movies is so good. And I love when he's in his cave, because I love the Hobbit movies with him. Not with him, with like the OG Hobbits, the actors play the Hobbits. I don't know their name. But you guys, it was so good. I want to see it again, again, again. What's her character's name? It's Mary. She's Michelle Jones or something. Let's see here. No, they don't have it. It's really good though. A lot of twists and turns. It's so great seeing all of our favorite villains in this multiverse, because what a time to be in the world these days. But Green Goblin / Harry Osborn's like pure evil, so I have several seats. You guys, I'm literally dozing off because I've been awake for almost 24 hours and my head is just not. So I'm going to log off because I want to take a shower, get in bed, and then I got to get up early and get some stuff done. So thank you so much, as always, for tuning into my podcast. I'm Andrew DeVitri, the mistress of pop culture, always here to deliver you fabulous stories. You can stream my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, CastBox Radio, iTunes, Podcast App on the iPhone, basically anywhere a podcast stream. Have a lovely weekend. I will be back next week to record some episodes, because that's what girls gotta do, and girls gotta do what girls gotta do. Okay, okay. XOXO, Gossip Girl.